Welcome everyone to League Scenes. Look at round 15 of the NRL season. I'm Major Luke Antonio, contributor of the League Unlimited website, the Front Row program, and Statistician with Stats Perform. Joining us as always, 2SM cadet Geno Reece Sullivan. And Reece, a big week of footy in the books.
Yeah, so most teams are now into their final 10 games of the season. And, well, two teams are at least, the Brisbane Broncos and the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So we're into the home stretch, AJ.
We are into the home stretch, my friend. First and foremost, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone at the bottom of my heart for listening to the interview we put up on Monday with Mossy Masui. Really appreciated all the good feedback and the response so far. It's been overwhelming, I can't lie. I mean, getting the interview up, such a big milestone for this little baby of ours, but I'm overwhelmed with all the positive feedback so far, and a massive thanks to everyone again.
Mate, you did an excellent job with it. Like, you were superb with some of your questions. And then as well, on top of that, Mossy, was his answers were top class. I really loved the Lance Ohio, him coming around saying that the GPS data showed that was the fastest he ran to Roger in 10 hours. Like, that was definitely one of my favorite moments of the interview. But yeah, it was an excellent interview, mate. You did a top job.
Yeah, that and his time in France. When he's like, I'm not a good person in France. So my favorite stuff. But again, if you have not checked it out already, you are committing a major crime on this podcast. So go check that interview out first, then come back here and listen to our recap of the week that was. So time to focus back onto the Telstra Premiership. And it was a win for the Gold Coast Titans, 28 points to 12 over the West Tigers. And the good thing about this game, mate, it was much better than last year's clusterfuck on Thursday Night Football.
Does it still count as a tank ball, though, AJ?
It does still count as a tank ball, my friend. And thank you for reminding me. It is time, almost time, to prepare the tanks. Bear with us.
AJ forgot.
I've been a bit distracted.
He's too over the moon to get the round ball rock up. How embarrassing.
Prepare the tanks. We love our round ball rock, but let's go through this game now, and I'm going to be incredibly honest. I was starting to see some good resemblance of the Titans that I've been expecting all year. Sam Verrill's creating a good platform for his forwards. I really thought that Mo Fodawaka, Tino Fasilmaluawi were outstanding. Of course, Mo and Tino back into the origin scene. Good reward, I think, for Mo. I thought he was very unlucky to miss out in game one, but I think another person to be very unlucky not to get back in that scene, Philip friggin' Sammy.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty open on Sunday night when the news broke that Selwyn Cobbo wasn't going to be selected due to his hip problems. I came out and said that it should be Philip Sammy that comes into the squad. I think not just the performance he did on Thursday against the Tigers, but the performances he's had over the last month, 2 months of the season really warrant his selection back into the Queensland side. Definitely more than I think a guy like Xavier Coates does. And that's not disrespecting Coatesy, because he had a great game against the Sharks. There's no denying that. But we all know Xavier Coates and sometimes can be a bit of a catch-kick merchant. So
didn't stop just picking one catch-and-kick merchant.
Yeah. But look, at the end of the day, we'll discuss the whole coach selection a little bit later. But we'll talk about the Titans. We'll talk about Philip Sammy. He was incredible. I'm just going to quickly pull up the stats right now, although you probably have them in front of you, AJ.
Do you want me to just do it?
Yeah, if you could. You're the stats form guy. You did the stats.
28 runs, 290 meters, 137 kick return meters, 73 post contact meters, one line break, eight tackle breaks. He had six tackles and one kick defusal. So good signs from Philip Sammy. No errors as well in an 80-minute performance. A lot of criticism we said last week about Jaden Campbell in the six jumper. Defensively, I thought he was a lot better, only missing the four tackles. I thought that was pretty good. I touched on Sam Verrills opening up that forward attack. Khaleesi Haas looked good on the edge, but six runs, mate. Pick up the friggin' workload.
Do you know who he reminds me of?
Fifita Jr.?
Pretty much, yeah. 2021, 2022, Fifita Jr. Just, you know, the guy who he can get himself into great attacking spots, but if you want to do work, no, mate, no.
Yeah. He's on Smoko.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, good to see Jamin Joloff return from injury. Of course, he sustained an injury in the first in training, I think, before round two. He had that pec injury. Good to see him back. Gave the Titans an extra 1-2 punch. I thought Tino's little brother, Isaac, was good in his stint. Aaron Clark, good in limited minutes because they have Sam Verrills there now that can play 80. Aaron Clark's role in this side, I guess, has become a little bit redundant, if that's safe to say.
I feel like he's sort of like a low-budget Patrick Carrigan, just kind of a playmaking middle forward. So I think if the Titans want to work, I reckon they could find a really good role for him in that sort of position. But yeah, it's going to take building a lot of connection with guys like Brimson, guys like, you know, Toby Sexton, JD Campbell, those types of guys. So
it was good to see AJ Brimson back in the side. A try, two try assists, six tackle breaks. This is the AJ Brimson I come to know and love. He was 18th man selected for Queensland. A bit interesting, but
I reckon it's well deserved.
He's well deserved. He's been very good this year. He had two forced dropouts as well off three grubbers. On to the Tigers. It's hard to be too critical here because I thought they were in the contest. Red zone execution, though, leaves a lot to be desired with Brandon Wakeham and Luke Brooks. Brooksy now sustaining a hamstring injury, and the fact he's gone, he will be leaving the club at the end of the season. First of
Where
all, we'll touch on that.
If you had to name a team that's going to sign Luke Brooks for 2024, who would it be right now?
St. George.
Okay, that's a fair shout.
Because you don't know what Ben Hunt's going to do.
Well, I would say even if Hunt stays, Brooks and Hunt could be a good halves combination because Hunt does everything Brooks doesn't want to do in terms of just being the lead playmaker.
Big time, my boy.
But I would actually say the Bulldogs should be looking at him.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
they're going to do.
But I think with the way the Bulldogs have been using Oluapu, Brooks comes straight in as that running 5'8". I think he works spectacularly well next to Matt Burden.
Yeah, but that's a fair shout. And I guess it will give Burdo the opportunity just to kind of sit back and not have to do as much of the role playing because Brooks can kind of lean back on him a little bit. But
yeah. And I've also heard a lot of people say that he'd look really good at the Raiders, which is something I agree with Wyken leaving. He can sort of fill that hole. And they probably still have a bit of money to throw somewhere else.
True. But Luke Brooks, you are a castle for Tiger. Look,
Guangdong Tigers.
Cash are only 4 points out of being relegated now that Wakefield finally decided to win a game.
Ooh.
Now, Jermaine Buller, we cannot forget this man when we talk about the West Tigers Football Club anymore. He is absolutely outstanding. Like, he is. I look at this team, and Jermaine Buller has just elevated it to areas where it's watchable football because Jermaine Buller's there. Like,
you know that meme where it's like a really shit house? And then in the carport, it's a luxury car.
That's West Tigers and Jermaine.
Yeah, exactly.
They also got what Stefano and Clem were okay in the middle. Like, especially Clem running 14 times, 135 meters. Bateman continues to impress as ever. But they really need more production. We're talking about Fanua Bolle and his impact last week. Only the 5 runs to 38 meters. Twile only ran the ball 7 times. Bloor, I thought, was effective off the bench, but that's about it. Kepa Ola's role was quite limited as well. Tommy Talau on the centres has got to be on borrowed time, I think. I'm just at a loss at the moment with the Tigers in a sense that they're still not sure of their identity as a football team.
Yeah, and with the Dragons now starting to find some resemblance of a rugby league team under Ryan Carr, all of a sudden, that race for the wooden spoon is back on. The Tigers are going to have to find another gear before the end of the season.
Yeah. So, on to what was I going to talk about in this one? Abisai Coruscant. Yes, I do find something now. Broken jaw in the first 15 minutes of play. Bumpers up from Tino. Do we think that Mr. Fasua Malabali was a lucky boy?
He is definitely a lucky boy. That's only because the NRL really doesn't have any actual recognition of that type of running style as foul play. Because obviously we saw with the Reid Marnie incident earlier this season, he copped a fine for that. But then in this one, which is injury-wise much worse, he doesn't get charged at all. So I think that's probably going to be the next thing the NRL look at this offseason in regards to one of their, you know, world-famous crackdowns. So, yeah. But I think for now, I'm happy with it not being charged because it's consistent with what we've seen this season. I'd rather, like, and that's not even me talking from the point of Queensland bias where you want Tino playing State of Origin. I think you can't, you know, and I understand that the argument from you might be that Sualii got three games.
No, it's not. I'm not going to have that argument at all because it's a different style. That's raising the knee with running.
Say. That's what I was going to say.
And he's been warned about this before. It's his own doing. I'm not going to have an argument about that whatsoever. You're probably shocked about that.
Yeah, I am. I thought that was exactly what you're going to say, but fair enough.
Okay. Warriors 36, Canberra 14. And I'm going to ask the question, Ricky Stewart. Was it really worth it?
Was it leadership, Ricky?
You know, the culture.
Was that what leadership looked like?
No, but to be honest, the people of Canberra did turn up. They got a crowd of 21,000 in the joint. Remember, 6 o'clock football too.
On Friday.
That's pretty impressive. On Friday, 6 o'clock
in Canberra. Where it's fucking cold.
And GIO Stadium is notoriously a shithole to park at, from all reports. I've been there once. It is a dodgy place to park.
Yeah, they got the crowd there. And like I said, early in the game, when it looked like there were a couple of times where Croker sniffed the try line, it felt like the Canberra fans would rip the proverbial roof off the stadium if Croker got over.
Yeah, they did, but let's talk through the game. Let's talk through the game. Bit of a complacent start. I thought both sides really had some opportunities. Canberra did have a try taken off the board. Matt Timokol was ruled to have been grounded short of the line, and they're just unable to convert opportunities. But Jack Whiten picked up a try off a kick, and it was 6-0 early. And then Mitch Barnett decided to rear his ugly head again. I thought he was lucky to stay on the field, personally. I thought he should have been marched.
It was probably right on the border. And at the same time, though, the MRC did agree, using our logic, they did agree with the sending by only giving a grade 2 charge. But, yeah.
Well, he was a very lucky boy.
Right in the grey area.
Yeah, and you sort of felt that even though they were down to 12, the Warriors just had more motors to gain in this game. They were just going and going and going. And we're talking about great plays before. When we were talking about Jareem Bore and that individual try, what about the put down from DWZ?
He's done a couple of those this season. He's really just gone back to what made him great as a winger on those Panther sides. Just not overstretching his hand and just being a finisher. And it's worked wonders for the Warriors this season.
Yeah. It was pretty cool stuff. I can't lie to you there, mate, let me tell you. But from there, DWZ committed a penalty for something. It was probably. Oh, hang on. That was for the push and shove, wasn't it? With Horsburgh. My
Yeah.
apologies. That allowed them to go to 8-6, where it remained at half time. But there just seemed to be more gears to go here with the Warriors. And they picked up two quick tries, one for Chance and then one for Tom Arley. And all of a sudden, Canberra were on the back foot.
Yeah, you could really feel the momentum shift with those couple of quick tries. It really put Canberra, like you said, on the back foot,
Yeah,
and
and then
it
you
just
had
lifted the Warriors.
Luke Metcalf go over for the game sealer at 24-8, but Shaun Johnson came off second best, didn't he?
Hey, he got lucky. It was just the busted lip.
Very lucky boy. I really questioned Canberra's defense in the middle. Like we went through the tackles, and you could probably laugh at this, but we didn't have that many missed tackles for Canberra. Just defensive mistimings was so bad.
Yeah, it felt like there were a lot of gaps for the Warriors to run through. And in the same time, there were a lot of times where, especially for Fonua Blake, would just get one-on-one and just push the defense back.
Where's the
And
line break? Seven line breaks to two.
yeah, that's not a big gap for that score
Yeah.
line. So, yeah.
It was really bad. It was like really, really bad, I thought, in that area of the field for them. But I want to focus the latter part of the game, and I want to thank Canberra for curing my PTSD when that pass went across the red zone and was intercepted by Shaun Johnson.
I'm
Mate,
sure
it
you
was
had
cured.
some great flashbacks to that one.
Oh, fuck. It was like some of those boys back in Nam. I'm scared. I keep hearing fortunate sound. But final thoughts on this one, my friend?
Excellent win by the Warriors because obviously Canberra do have a fair bit of form behind them. So,
And the
you know,
occasion.
yeah, it's a great win for the Warriors. And I think the Raiders have a bit of work to do because they've had a relatively soft schedule the last few weeks. Obviously, they did, you know, they had that loss to Manly and then they beat South Sydney. But other than that, you know, since that Broncos game, they really haven't had a lot of tough teams to face. But heading into this back half of the season, if they want to play finals football, they need to step up a little bit more.
Yeah, Ricky Stewart can't just ride on soft wins during Origin for much longer, my friend. Corey Horsburgh missing out on Origin selection despite I thought what was a relatively good performance, which is a shame for him, but good for the Raiders. Moving on. Manly 58, Dolphins 18, and we can extinguish the Finns' premiership hopes for another year.
That's the end of that.
Not for another year, because this is actually their first year in the comp.
Was going to say.
But mate, that was a good old-fashioned Manly carve-up. I was having flashbacks to PVL ball watching this game.
Yeah, they just turned up, and that was the end of that. Manly
Like, let's
really
go
never had a
through.
chance.
They only had one set defensively in the first half. Tessie New decides to turn into last year, drop the bomb from there. Whoops. Jason Saab is able to sprint away and score. Talk about catch and pass merchants right there, Jason Saab. But I just thought that Manly were always one step ahead. They were always going ahead of the Dolphins in the pace they played. And it was really telling when it was 22-0 and the Dolphins had decided that they wanted to touch the football and they did score straight away. They got to 22-6. But then they conceded a couple of penalties. I think the penalty count ended up something like 8-1 in favor of Manly from memory. Like, you're not going to win a game of football with that sort of penalty count against you.
Exactly.
And then it was 28-6 by half time. And when you're making a Lachlan Croker look serviceable, that's the problem, ladies and
Not a good
gentlemen.
look. Not a good look.
But I just was really impressed. Like, I was really intrigued to see how this Manly forward rotation would go without Gerbo. I've been really impressed with Samela Finau's impact off the bench on the edge. I thought he's outstanding again. Sean Kepi's been good at lock. Ethan Bullamore made a really good impact, I thought, as well. He was amazing. Hamoli Okawatu, great. Paseka, even better. How good's he been these last few weeks, Taniela Paseka?
Phenomenal.
Turbo decided he wanted to turn up this week after his disappearance in State of Origin 1.
Must be selection week again.
Yeah, but we're talking about speed before with Jari and Buller and a couple other players, but how good was those kicks and chases? How about the toe on Tolu Tola for that try when he just went past the Sarko?
That's the Jermaine Isaaco I grew up watching.
You know it all too well.
Very much so.
So from there, I mean, the Dolphins did able to get three quick tries. The Hammo picked up a double, but I was disappointed with Hammo. I was expecting the shark fin, but you don't do that when you're down 58-16. So I understand that from Hammo. So.
The loss was the disrespectful thing to his culture, unfortunately, so.
Fair enough. Reuben Garrick picked up 30 of his side's 58 points. My God. Good
Not a
for my
bad haul.
super coach.
And also great for his chances in the Dally M point scorer league.
Yeah, I'm looking through your team, and it is a sight to behold. But you didn't do the mistake I made. You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I left Payne Haas as a non-playing reserve.
Rough.
I still got
Rough.
1,413,
Fair enough.
but still,
Fair
fuck my
enough.
life.
There could have been more.
Josh, sound the horn, Reese. It's time for Schuster watch. So you probably think with Manly running 58-18, I wouldn't have anything negative to say about Josh Schuster. But let's take you through the stat line. 7 runs of 43 meters, no line breaks, no line break assists, only one try assist. One tackle breaker, play the ball speed of get ready to vomit, Reese. 5.36 seconds.
Oh, God.
Three dummy passes, 46 touches of the footy, the same as Turbo. One missed tackle, three kicks, one bomb. No errors, 80 minutes. Have a day, Joshua Starr.
Yeah, it's just to play the ball speed.
Also, I think the line break assists thing's not helping either. For me, like Manly had, how many friggin' line breaks did you bastards have? They had eight line breaks to two, and Schuster's only respond didn't create one. So that's the sort of attacking thing I was talking about. But overall, it's not too bad for Manly. For the Dolphins, what more do we say? What do we possibly say about this performance, mate?
I mean, all there really is to say is that, do they make the finals from here? Like, we went from saying that they could be a smoky for the title.
They're locked in the finals race with the Seagulls,
the Raiders, the Roosters, the Knights, the Titans, and the Eels. I don't see
we
them
should
making the
fail.
eight.
We'll get them next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking love that meme from God. But 33 missed tackles. They did have two intercepts, so an 8-1 penalty count against them. So a lot of things that went wrong for the Dolphins in this one. But I think when you're looking at people to blame, it's a real team effort in this one. A lot of people let them down, I thought. Katoa did a lot of the kicking, and that surprised me. Did force two dropouts, so it doesn't look too bad for Isaiah, but four missed tackles on an edge that was targeted all night. Definitely cause for concern. Marshall King only played a half of football, and he looks set to be sidelined for a little bit with an AC joint injury, I believe.
Yep, that is. And also, Branko Lee looks like he's going to be sidelined as well.
Can I just say something, please?
Yeah,
Why
go
the
ahead.
fuck people in the Dolphins medical staff made an informed decision to play him this week after he limped off last week is sackable. It is sackable for that medical team.
The Wayne Bennett special, that is.
Like, that is sackable behaviour.
Yep, and now they have to deal with the consequences of it, which, to be fair, is probably just Nick Valens, Tavares at centre for the next few weeks. Not too bad of a consequence, but still.
Mate, if you mess with the rig, I've got a couple of Tavares fan guys in my office that will throw down.
Look, like Southern Dan said, the Sharks have a habit of making people like him look good. So, we'll take his debut game with a grain of salt until we see him do it again.
Yeah, we will, my friend. Are we ready to move on, or do we have anything else to talk about from this one?
No, I think I'm ready to move on.
Let's move on. For my Stanley, I'm ready to move on. Dragons 36, Sharks 30. Well. We could talk about this game. It was definitely a game of three halves. We had the first half, the second half, and whatever the fuck the final 5 minutes was. But let's talk about the game first and foremost. I am so impressed with the resilience in the St. George Illawarra playing corps to have everything go on and still rock up every week.
They don't come to fuck spiders, do they?
It's good. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, and especially without he who shall not be named providing his esteemed leadership capabilities.
Culture.
Should I say his alleged leadership capabilities?
Alleged sounds better, but
for him. Yeah.
Look, let's talk about the two-headed monster that is the Molo brothers. One's a murderer. Sorry, manslaughterer. I don't want to get in trouble. If you know, you know. Michael Molo, I thought, was great. He was really solid. Murdoch Masilla having 7 runs, though, is sackable. Really impressed with Josh Kerr and with Talatau Aimone. I thought they were quite good.
Yeah, and then obviously you've also got Ben Hunt, who spent the game doing what Ben Hunt does best, which is being a pretty damn good football player.
Fucking oath he is. 3 line break assists, 2 try assists. I also thought Tyrell Sloan had a good game, and that's, again, take it with a grain of salt. It is Tyrell Sloan. He has had his struggles at times this year, but really impressed with what I've seen from Tyrell. Sully, Ravawala continuing his purple patch. Jaden Hunt, I thought, was another one at lock. Had to pick up a little bit more of a role with he who shall not be named being sidelined, but I was really impressed with him. Made 22 tackles, only missed 2, and overall was pretty solid the entirety of the match. But on to South Sydney, or is there anything else you want to touch on the Dragons real quick?
No, I think you touched on pretty much everything. I think that this was probably their best game of the season so far. Obviously, pretty low bar for a team that's only won 3 games.
And let's exclude the final 5 minutes from that. But I thought really good effort. And I just thought that turn-off in the final 5 can be excused because it is the Dragons. But on to South Sydney. First and foremost, full disclaimer, yes, you are missing players. However, with all this depth and bitching about the Roosters you do, I was expecting you guys to actually turn up and win.
At the end of the day, the Dragons.
Let's look at this a little bit more in depth. Cheekham played 80 minutes at lock. I'm really impressed with Harmay Sele. I really like what I see from him every week, mate.
He's been good.
Totola as well. 12 runs, 117 metres. I thought he was outstanding. Campbell Graham, we know what we get with Campbell. It'll be interesting to see if a spot with his name on it comes up on Origin Day tomorrow. Saluka Fifita, you know what I think of that bench of Saluka Fifita, Shaq Mitchell, Havili, and Jed Cartwright. Although it was good to see Sylvia Hung come back in the side. He's been out for the first 14 matches this season. Even I'll admit it was good to see him back.
look at this Roosters fan showing he has a heart.
But look, I thought their attack at times was quite clunky. They tried to score off every play. 78% completion rate backs that up. They made 8 errors, conceded 7 penalties, just looked out of sorts until it was far too late. Yes, you scored 3 tries in 2 minutes. but it was still too late, and you tried to push the envelope way too late, and it nearly came back to bites. It nearly came back to bites and George. But mate,
I will just point out that, you know, South probably have a chance of winning this game if either not Cap miss a bunch of conversion attempts, or number two, Zach Lomax does what he usually does and missed a bunch of conversion attempts.
He's must have had his IMC Sport Nutrition.
Only a clinician.
Remember, banned substance tested and informed sports certified.
Yes. Indeed. Indeed.
But yeah, South desperately needed guys like Cody Walker in the team. There was a good chance for Lachie Ilias to lift on his own, but when you have no line break assists and no try assists, yeah, that experiment went really well. Even Dean Hawkins had two try assists. Dean Hawkins.
That's a
threat. Well, it was playing 5-8, mate.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Anything else on this game before we go on to your neck of the woods?
All I'll say is, I'll ask you one thing. With South now, all right, mm-hmm. So South and Brisbane are obviously, they played the exact same amount of games.
Yes.
South, 9 wins. Brisbane, 11 wins. Are there any concerns with South going forward that maybe they've lost too many games at the start of the season to contend for one of those top two spots?
Top two spots probably, but they still have three buys in play. So if we put their three buys into perspective, they will move on to 24 points. That'll be the same as Penrith.
But at the same time, though, the Broncos also have three buys. And the Panthers are the Panthers. The way they've been playing this season, especially with the fact they're not facing the Broncos again, how many more games realistically do they lose?
They'll probably lose on Friday in Cairnsville. The way the Cowboys have been playing, they'll be unaffected by Origin, mostly. I mean, they'll be missing Cotter, Holmes, Taulagi, but they're not going to miss Dearden. I think having their full halves complement there will be a big boost.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it's the Cowboys. Penrith... Yeah, exactly. At Penrith, last season, they proved they could win without Luai clearing.
Yeah, 100%. I think they can definitely win. I'm not saying it's unwinnable, but yeah. I think with the South Sydney side moving forward, like, let's take a look at their rest of the season. We're in round 15 right now.
The good news with South is both their buys are before the next two Origin games. Mm-hmm. So round 15, round 19 buys.
Yeah, let's take a look at it. So they've got bye, Cowboys, Warriors in Auckland, Bulldogs bye, Broncos, Tigers, Sharks. That's in WA. Dragons in Cairns, Newcastle bye, Roosters.
That's a lot of teams firing for a final spot in their run home.
Be interesting to see how it looks for them. But moving on. Broncos 24, Knights 20. Now. I was really impressed in this game. It was a really high quality stuff. I'm sure Reese is fawning over the fact that Piakura crossed the stripe. However, mate, I'm not going to say too much. I'll let you do your debrief.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So, first of all, As Aram said, let me give full credit to the Bounce. The Bounce in this situation being the Newcastle Knights. They played amazingly well. I'll address some of their players first. First of all, Caelan Ponga. Obviously had a bit of a point to prove this week with the selection of Reece Walsh at fullback for Queensland. And he proved it superbly with 229 metres, two line breaks and a try. I know a lot of people have criticised Reece Walsh for it, but realistically, how many fullbacks stop Caelan Ponga in that situation?
Tough question to answer.
Yeah, exactly. Dom Young got a try, 201 metres. Greg Baju got a try, 227 metres. Pretty much what you expect from those two wings at this point. I thought we did a really good job containing Braden Best. Obviously, he did. No, he did not get that try. Sorry. And Margie didn't score either. We stopped him. Dom scored both of them. That's fair. No, so we did stop Bradley from scoring, and I think we did detain him pretty well. It was great to see Tice back at Suncorp, and it's great to see he still hadn't lost his touch of being an absolute dickhead. I think the big thing we did was we did a really good job containing Jackson Hastings. I thought he was pretty ineffective all game. And realistically, if you could contain Jackson Hastings, the Knights only have Ponga to be the playmaker. So I think that's one of the big areas we won in. And then obviously their forward pack, as you'd expect, Saifiti carrying the load. Brazil did really well. Jay Staff off the bench was phenomenal. But now we get to the Broncos. Let's be real. The Broncos played absolutely shithouse. Let's go through the errors. Reece Walsh had 3 errors. Porrios had 2. Katoni and Farnworth both had 1 each. Selwyn Cover had 3. Every time we got into the red zone, we made a mistake. It felt like. But at the end of the day, the good teams win the games that they play well in. The great teams win the games that they play shit in. And that's what happened with the Broncos today, or on Saturday rather. You know, defensively, they were pretty sound. I mean, obviously, Farnworth had his moments where he had a couple of bad reads. Katoni was being a little bit embarrassed by Bradman Best, but at the same time, he did have Corey Oates to come across and save him. Ezra and Reynolds both had their issues with the forward pack. Kurt Capewell. Look, what are your thoughts on Kurt Capewell? Especially considering what we've seen from Piakura the last 2 weeks.
Borrowed time?
I think so. I think what we've seen is he looks, at this stage of his career, he looks much better playing in the middle than he does playing on the edge. So I think, realistically, if we put him on the bench and have him come on for Carrigan and then have Kobe or Piakura start on the edge, I think that's better overall for the team.
He's turning 30 next month, exactly next month, on the 12th of July. But I want to talk about the end of the game with you blokes. Like, you had the game won, yet Reece Walsh decides to commit the most blatant scrum infringement in recent history. Like, how bad was it?
Look, at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I don't know what was worse, that or the Knights choosing not to repack.
Hey, look, you can take the Knights out of Newcastle, but you can't take Newcastle out of the Knights.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that one quickly, but I'm going to give my thoughts on the game. I thought Newcastle very unlucky in this one. Dom Young, Marju, they work incredibly hard. Daniel Saifiti, there's whispers that he is in a three-way battle for 2 bench spots in New South Wales because Young and Pangai are thankfully at the fucking door. So it's between Lenu, it's between one testicle, Saifiti, and Campbell Gillard. Hi. See what I did there?
Yes, I did see what you knew there. Honestly, in this situation, I'd pick JSAP and RTG.
I like Lenu's aggression, and I think it's tailor-made for that arena. But at the same time, if he had that reaction to JWH giving him a bit of verbal lip, imagine what he'll do up against Flegler at the Cauldron.
Yeah, exactly. He'll get himself sent off.
Hey, I'm all for an all-in brawl between Flegler and Lenu because I know Spenny can throw some.
Yeah, he hasn't seen Ponga throw them yet, though. That's the thing. I back my boy.
You did commit a major crime, though, Reece. You let Match with 1T score through a yawning gap.
Yes.
But across the board, I was really impressed with the Knights. They tried hard. I thought JSAF had a really huge deal on the bench. But for the Broncos, Pass was good, Flegler was good, Carrigan was good, Piakura good, Tapa'u good in limited minutes. I'm going to ask you this question again, mate. What role is Kobe Heverington playing in this side at the moment?
Right now, he's basically the backup prop.
Why is he only getting 16 minutes?
Because he's backing up Payne Haas.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair. I just think he's a better player than the 16 minutes suggest.
He is. But at the same time, you take a look at the impact he had at the end of the game. You know, maybe having a forward that can stay that fresh isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. For Newcastle, though, they've come a long way. This shows how far they've come post their bye. I'm really impressed with them. They've got a lot of ticker, and we're in for a tough matchup on Saturday night, on Saturday afternoon against Newcastle, my team, the Roosters, which is where our next adventure takes us. Panthers 30, Roosters 6. So, first and foremost, I'm going to go on my tangent. I thought the first half we were okay. Very lucky at the same time to only be 10-0 down. They had a lot of ball on our line early. I was really impressed with our defensive resilience, but that fell apart in the space of about 6 minutes when we conceded 3 tries, and the game was gone by that point. So I'm really disappointed with how easy the game slipped away from us, if you know what I mean, Reese.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Broncos fan. I know all about games slipping away.
Like, it was, it just hurt because, like, it was, we conceded a dumb penalty, and then they concede, they score a try, we concede a set restart, score a try, and then the game's already over by that point. We did well to make sure we only concede, it wasn't like the last game where we conceded, 48 points?
Yeah, 48.
So I was very happy with that, and I'm also very happy that Luke Keary has learned how to kick a goal. So we don't have to rely on one Jay Tedesco.
It's better than Sam Walker's knuckleball, that's for sure.
But on to something that a lot of Roosters fans have been wanting me to talk about. Team selection.
Well, haven't you talked about this with how much you want Nafu White to play?
Not only Nafu White, but in general, when somebody goes down, why in God's fuckery are we, it's the first port of call to move a human version of a plank to center. Like, what on God's earth and fuckery, Robbo, are you playing at with us when our fan base isn't dumb? We know that Hutch is useless. So just do what you're going to do this week. Move Manu back to a preferred position and start Sandon Smith. It will save me a rage. Like, fuck me,
I'm convinced they want to see you mad.
And, I mean, it doesn't... I mean, I'll get onto Nafu White later because I am getting pretty fed up with Matt Lodge. Like, I'm getting really sick of him. Like, I mean, the only person defensively... Like, everyone in the middle is exempt. Nat's exempt. Turpin's 68 tackles are exempt. Like, Jesus Christ, the bloke's a monster. Thank you, Brisbane. Like Lodge.
You keep hyping up Turpin's defense, but all that means is you're having to do a lot of tackling.
That's true. But you look at Hutch, 16 tackles, 5 misses, 3 ineffective. Yes, he had 15 runs and ran over 100 meters. Good work. I don't care. But I was impressed with Jared winning the physical battle. Liam Martin, not hit by a stray elbow, Penrith, but you can't help that 34-year-old JWH's hips don't lie. But the other one with Moses Leota, I can't believe that there were people out there thinking that was deliberate from JWH. He runs bumpers up a lot of the time. It can't help if Moses Leota's tackling technique gets him in that position. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, but you could say the bump wasn't deliberate, but putting the water on top of his head certainly was.
Okay, we're now talking about something different, but I'll get to that afterwards. Toops, great to see you back, mate. You were great. Teddy was good without over-trying. Manu, we need to get you out of 6, mate. You're pissing me off. Junior Pauga played through an arm injury. Still ran for most meters in the side, and he's looking very comfortable in that side, let me tell you, Junior Pauga.
He looks like I said last week. He looks first grade ready. Obviously, being a bit more of a mature rookie, probably a bit easier for him. But still,
Yeah, big time friendo mundo. But let's talk about the incident with Jeremy Lex and Spencer Ledoux. First and foremost, JWH plays close to the mark. I admit that more than any Roosters fan. Was the water throwing a little bit of a grade 5 carry-on? Absolutely. Spraying the water, that's fine. But the second you throw it, that's when all hell broke loose. And apparently JWH made a comment about he didn't have the balls to take him on. And Spenny got a bit fired up about that because he's missing one. But full credit to Penrith. They outpointed us big time. I expected it. Crichton was great. Edwards was great. Although people say Edwards had the last laugh, but at the same time, Teddy did run over him to score.
Yeah, but how many times do we usually see a fullback tackle a prop?
Did you just call Tedesco a prop?
Yes, I did.
Fuck you. But their forwards, like Leota was good, Fisher-Harris is immense, Scotty Sorensen. This bloke turns into a fucking prime Bradley Clyde when he plays against us. Lindsay Smith on the bench was great. He tore us a new asshole. Liam Martin was good. But, I mean, mainly from a super coach perspective, I want to get your points on this one. What is Penrith doing with Sonny Luke?
They're trying to use him in the same way they used Coruscant off the bench in last year's final series.
They're not.
No, you did let me finish. Sorry. The thing is, his name is Sonny Luke and not Apisai Coruscant.
He didn't even get on in the first half, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. I think it's time for Penrith to go back to having four props on the bench. Always keeping them fresh.
100%, my friend. Moving on. Four Sharks 10, another team eliminated from the 2023 Telstra Premiership. What has happened to the Sharks?
Oh, man.
What's happened to them?
They have hit a wall, to say the least.
Like, I mean, I know we don't normally promote rivals here on this show, but I really want to direct everybody to Subbo Dan, Dan Nichols's editorial on Zero Tackle, titled "A Coach or One for the Boys: Time for Mass Overhaul at Sharks After Embarrassing Loss."
Yeah, obviously we are a League Unlimited podcast, but you know, we will give Subbo a shout out because he's a great friend of the show.
Yeah, and also before we go anywhere, have you acknowledged my win from Rugby League Grumble yet?
No, I haven't. But yes, obviously an excellent win, excellent to see the league scene team come up with another dub. So now not only do we have the joint most wins of a podcast on the Rumble, but we also have the most interviews with Mossy Masoi of every rugby league podcast. So
up yours, Kempy.
Stay winning.
He's not a bloke in the bar because he's not even in the bar. But talk back on track onto the game. Tui Kamakamika's first try had a few question marks about it. Did you think he maintained possession?
I thought it was a very good quality torso ground.
It was a very good torso ground. However, they were able to respond rather quickly, and you thought, oh, the Sharks are back. Teague Wilden scored, but after a period, I think Nico Hines did miss a penalty goal in the 11th minute. That was sort of the turning point. Two errors by Sifa Talakai, some poor Nico Hines passes, allowed the Storm to go up 10-6 before another uncharacteristic drop from Sione Katoa.
AJ, time out. We're going to have to walk back some of the comments we made earlier. Because you said that RCG, Lenu, and DSAP were all fighting for two bench spots.
What's happened?
Christian Nicolussi is now reporting that RCG and Lenu have...
Oh, hang on a moment. So, what's happened here? So we've got Daily Telegraph suggesting that Spencer Lemieux is in. And now we've got Christian Nicolussi at the Sydney Morning Herald saying Spenny's out.
Going at it.
So it looks like DSAF has won.
Yes, but then the question is,
hang
on. I'm just thinking. I'm reading this position here. Well-placed sources were suggesting Lemieux would be included. That was from News Corp.
By well-placed sources, do you mean Greg Alexander?
True. But, it's really funny because we've gone from Peter Lang at the... saying Western Weekend are reporting Spencer Lemieux will be named, and then now Spencer Lemieux has missed the bench spot.
When has Lang ever gotten something right? Like, seriously,
not often, but can we go back to the game, please?
Yes, go back to the game.
So 16-6, and all of a sudden it was a pretty even game, but then the Storm, in a period of 10 minutes, scored 3 tries and Cronulla were gone by this point. And I really wish people went onto Subbo Dan's Twitter and just saw the timeline.
You mean Newtown Dan? He's rejected the Sharks now.
Sorry, Newtown Dan, as he rocks to be killed on the show. We'll get on to the lower grade report later. But it was just a dominating display by the Storm. Munster 18 points, Grant a double, Coates a double. Remus Smith was injured at some stage. Marion Seve went off as well, so they're playing a makeshift centre combination of Tyron Wishart and Tom Eisenhoof. They also had Eli Katoa go off early with a cut of an unknown quantity. But looking across the board,
sideline players.
No, looking across the board, Welsh, Kamakamika, and Nelson. I think Nelson Asafa Solomona has ended Matt Moylan's first grade career.
Yeah, I sort of think that I can't see Moylan staying in the selection capacity. I think Solo hit on the head when he said Fitzgibbon's going to have to decide whether he's a coach or a mate with his selections this week.
He did.
Because I don't think he can continue to pick Moylan on the side. I think you have to start asking questions about Dale Finucane as well. And also Talakai. Like, he gets a lot of meters, but other than that, he's really been ineffective this season.
I was really impressed with Connor Tracy in those couple of games he played at centre for Talakai a couple of weeks back. I thought he was really solid. Really impressive. Okay, Hudson Young will be retained. Going back to Origin.
Goodness gracious me.
Fitless throwing the series, but back on track.
I thought Kevin was throwing the series. Oh, sorry, Billy was throwing the series with the selection of Nene, but...
Okay, so Moylan missed 10 tackles. Jesus.
Not a good look.
He should be on... I heard Dan also say that Brayley should be considered for execution and they should bring in what's the dude's name from Newtown? Pardon? Sorry. With Blake Brayley, who's the... With Blake Brayley, you got me now? Okay, with Blake Brayley, they've got Jaden Beryl at Newtown.
Yeah.
That's in the wings. He should be next. Nikor has probably been the rare exception. Teague Wilden's had a shocking game, a few bad ones. But I look at Origin Kafusi, he's a starting front row in the game. a bench player, you're looking for impact, right? Is 3 runs for 11 metres the impact you want?
God, no.
We're talking about days of execution before. Is Wade Graham's time to enter the eternal pit here? What are you thinking?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
Obviously, this season is probably going to be his last. But if the Sharks want to be serious about competing, I think it is time to tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, buddy, would you like to walk away with a dignified death? Or would you want to be playing your last games at Texan Park?
Yeah, but for Melbourne, a dominant win for the Sharks, a lot that needs to be fixed and quickly. Okay, final game of the round, Parramatta 34, Bulldogs 12, the King's birthday, Clint Gutherson picking up a hat-trick in the space of 20 minutes. We're only missing one thing, mate. You know what we're missing?
What's that?
A Gufferino.
Oh, he's forgotten. He hasn't forgotten. He's forgotten.
Picked up a hat-trick, really good for my Supercoach team.
Well, it's the King's birthday. The King has to get a birthday present, doesn't he?
He does, and he's got himself a team that was apparently against all odds, I saw on Parramatta Twitter today. But just because your 5'8 is currently on the no-fault stand-down policy, I don't think that's good enough for me. But let's go through it. Sivo, great. Coming out of yardage, a try. Gaffo, a hat-trick. Simonson, good out of yardage. Mitchie Moses putting on an outstanding Origin audition, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He didn't put a foot wrong at all. You know, he was nothing short of outstanding. A couple try assists, line break assists as well. Just that connection he has with Gutherson is very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And going forward, I think it's going to be, you know, how does he go with Desco? That's going to be the question.
They play with each other at the Tigers.
Yes, obviously. But the Tedesco we saw at the Tigers is different to the Tedesco we're getting now at the Roosters. Even you can admit that.
Yeah, 100% different. Very, very different. But it'd be interesting to see, my friend. I was really impressed with Dejan Arce coming into this side. I thought he'd be a bit underdone, but very impressed with what I saw.
Well, the question is, now going forward, if Mitch Moses is picked for Origin, which we both expect, because I did hear that Reynolds hadn't gotten the phone call. He's already booked in to go play golf tomorrow. and get a new tattoo, actually.
Yeah.
So obviously he's not picking out camp. If Moses is picked and he's ineligible for round 16, who do Parramatta pick at halfback?
Well, the New South Wales Cup team didn't offer much today.
Surely they can try and snag Flanagan mid-season to fill the hole after what he did against them.
Gee, Jake Arthur would be nice right now.
Exactly.
Like, yes, he needs a fresh air, but considering the timing, I think that they've been really fucked over. but I have a big brain solution. Ready?
Go ahead.
The Cardi part.
Yes.
Welcome home.
Yes. It has to happen.
Or timeout. Guffo at 6, Arce at halfback, Zach Sandy at fullback.
That's even more chaotic. No, I've got a better idea. Sandy on the wing, Sivo at fullback. Big Micro Chat at fullback.
Could you imagine Sivo on the end of some of those sweet plays?
Be good ball, be run.
Their forwards today were outstanding. Just when you think you're safe when RCG and Parlo come off, hasn't Makatoa and Ogden just gone to another level?
Those are impact props.
Mm-hmm. He's learned.
the way Brad Arthur went from using his props at the start of the season to how they're doing now, that's the reason why they've run themselves back into the finals race.
Not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I was really impressed with McAtoa today. Really impressed with Ogden. Hopgood continues to be a great player. He had two offloads today, Hopgood. Paolo had four. Did you say disappointing?
For his standards.
Jesus, man. For my standards, Hopgood 62 in Supercoach. Will that trigger a price rise? 62, 65, please updates, give him three more points. I need money to be able to afford for feeder. But really impressed. Penasini offloads today, and I'm as a new owner of Penasini, he's a bit of a pod play. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Also, I've still got Jacob Preston in my side, and he's still making me coin. Beautiful beast. But on to the Bulldogs. Perfect segue. Really chaotic is the best way to describe it. And that assumption of the way they play was summed up by none other than their forward mongrel king, Tevita Pangai Jr.
Yeah, it was... I'll just leave it at that. It was one of the games for the Bulldogs and for TBJ.
Yeah, I mean, let's have a look at Carl Oluwapu. We did have some chat about this off-air. A line break assist, a try assist, 35 made tackles, but 10 missed or ineffective tackles. Yikes.
Ezra, ma'am, you're doing good, buddy. You're doing good.
But we're talking about erratic plays earlier. Josh Adokar putting in a kick, an infield kick after doing all the hard work. Mate, you're the fox. Just run.
Again, just the way the Bulldogs play, their heads were all on Mars, unfortunately.
Let's try. But again, I'm just looking through this list. I mean, I did the Eel stats today, so they're accurate.
Oh, so up yourself.
So lucky, Parramatta. But, I mean, I was touching...
Look at how humble he is. He gets one interview with a first-grade player, and he forgets how to act.
Hey... I've built this thing in the ground up. We have built this together, my friend. But Jacob Preston, I'm going to let you take the floor on this Preston v. Buller talk for Rookie of the Year. Just when you think Buller has it, Preston does this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to go Preston just because he started first. But do they still base Rookie of the Year on Dally M points?
I think so. So I think that's where he might come unstuck.
Exactly, yeah, because Buller's had a couple of games where you'd expect him to be getting 4, 5, 6 points.
Yeah, they did stitch him up at the start, remember? But yeah, very good display. But I think for the Bulldogs moving forward, they just really got to get their acts together during the next few weeks. Are they on the bye this week or do they have a game? I think they're on the bye. Bulldogs. And I got the Sharks, an angry shark side at Shark Park.
With Hines probably playing.
Yeah, that's an easy captaincy lock on Nico, let me tell you, yeah. For Supercoach.
Yeah.
Even with, I mean, I don't have redacted anymore, Dylan Brown. But yeah, it's an interesting one, let me tell you, my friend. But anything else on this game or anything else from the rest of the round we should touch on?
Not off the top of my head, I think. We have covered it all pretty well. Yeah, I think we're good to go.
Okay, looking at the ladder at the completion of round 15, we got the Panthers on top from the Broncos, both on 22 points. Panthers with a superior for and against of all of, yes, 70 points. Melbourne on 20 points. South Sydney, Cronulla, the Wars, the Raiders on 18 points. Manly in the 8 on 17. Next four teams are on 16 points. You've got the Eels, Titans, Finns, Roosters. Then you've got Newcastle on 15 points, Cowboys on 14, Canterbury 12, West 10 and the Dragons 10. Thanks to the Dragons, by the way, imploding in the last five. They're still on the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, I mean, they could have gone off the bottom, but they decided to let in 3 tries in 2 minutes, like we said earlier.
Mm-hmm. Decisions, boys. But anyway, on to Supercoach first. Cheesing for the W this week. Even despite my bed shit decisions, I managed to score 1,413 points. Reese, what did you get?
Oh, I haven't even opened the app yet.
Do you want me to tell it?
Caught me off guard. No, I'm opening it up now. That's all good. Just got to go on to game day. 1,219. So not my worst performance, that's for sure.
Yeah. Wins this week for Dan, Will... A rare draw in Supercoach. I've not seen this in our league this year between Haley and Pete. Of course, updates are still pending, but that is the first time I have seen that pre-update, a draw.
Yeah, hold on. Let me look at this. I want to see. If Hopgood gets those +3 updates, it won't be a draw for much longer, unfortunately.
Haley has 3 players pending updates, whilst Pete only has Cartwright.
Yeah.
So I think Haley might be safe.
I don't think it's
going to work. I just realized I beat Hux by double the score.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Other winners, Anthony, Dylan, Michael, AJ, Maxim, Bryson, and Dorian. Dorian is this week's top scorer with 1,505 points.
Fucking hell. 1,400, that should never lose you again.
Yeah. Imagine if I captained Ruben Garrick, I would have just gone being 4 streets ahead of everyone.
Dorian captained Garrick instead of Zacco.
Oh, fuck. We'd finally have this week's top score.
We would, eh?
Yeah, so... On to this week's lower grade report. I decided to change it up because I wanted to go full NRL, then focus the back end on Reggie's and our lol cow. So we're going to start Queensland.
Call him Reggie's now after Mossy Masoi called him Reggie's like 4 times in the interview.
He was like to me, are they still called Reggie's now? Great guy, Mossy. My heart goes out to you for this, mate. Like, seriously. We'll see if anyone who's played with Mossy Masoi is still playing in the Queensland Cup.
Well, okay. On how many players in those Dragons New South Wales Cup sides now in the NRL.
Mm-hmm.
That was great to see.
Yeah, he was. So, Tweed 42, Capra's 18, a double for Tremaine Sprite. Good to see him kicking goals again after what he's been through. We've touched on a couple times in the lower grade report now. Toby Sexton was great, kicked a solid 1 goal, had 110 metres running the football, and was figurative in their play. Joe Vuna, 117 metres, he was good. Jojo Fifita went back to Tweed. He had 11 runs, 143 metres. For the Capras, Oliver Gildart continued to impress his new club, Hull KR, with 9 runs to 75 metres. Edric Lee, 14 runs, 164 metres. JJ Collins, 12 for 152. Lachlan Hubner impressed, 21 runs, 187 metres, and 40 tackles. So good from both from the young lock.
Do you reckon with the form Tennessee news shown in the last couple of weeks, do you reckon Edric Lee's firming for a first grade return?
We've got to remember that Brenko's got to come out of the squad as well, and yeah. They've got another game impacted by Origin, so Hammer's probably going to come out of the team.
Yeah.
Probably. But they've also got in their Dolphins side, which we'll get to a little bit later, some players that I think can come up as well. Yeah. Okay. Bears 28, Devils 22. George Fye was sent off for striking in the 77th minute of play for punching.
Yikes.
Sammy Saluma got simbin for a professional foul, and Sam Costa got simbin for his part in the melee. But, yeah, not a good look for George Fye, former Bronco.
Yeah, Broncos.
Keanu Keeney continued to impress. He had 21 runs for 245 metres. He, of course, had a game at fullback last week with the Titans. Kemba Marlow, 12 runs, 137 metres. Jacob Ehlich continues to push for first grade spot, 11 runs, 152 metres. And Emre Pere, a former Cowboy, You might remember Reece, 5 runs 70 metres off the bench.
Not too shabby.
For the Devils, Jock Madden, no try assists. Xavier Wilson, I know you're pretty high on him. 9 runs, 101 metres in a good display in 44 minutes. Jack Ahern was good, as well as Jonathan Rubin.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else?
Good player.
Yeah. PNG Hunters, 40, Clydesdales, 4. I did the stats for this one on Sunday. That's why I had to start at 9 a.m. Roderick Tai, great on the wing. Of course, he starred with the the Papua New Guinea side of the World Cup. Solo Wane was good on the wing as well. Sammy Wabo, great on the bench. Tommy Moiti, 12 runs, 99 metres as well. He picked up the first try in the third minute. For the Clydesdales, going over to Port Moresby's tough. Drew Timms, their best player. Darren Schoenig had 11 runs, 116 metres. And the centre, Taki Mokora, was okay. Nothing too spectacular. I look at his attack and think nothing spectacular, and then I see his defence, 6 tackles, 8 missed.
yeah,
not good.
Could be
not
worse.
Good, mate. It could be worse, let me tell you. And also, yeah, that's all I want to say. Falcons beat Blackhawks. Blackhawks 26-12 winners. Jadesi Bakatira, a development player for the Blackhawks, picked up a double. Some players to shine. Suofa Longo ran for over 250 metres with the Origin contingent for the Storm. He might be a chance. Grant Anderson, to the joy of Melbourne Twitter, went back and didn't impress. a name to keep your eye on, I've heard a lot of people talk about Jack Howarth. He was the young player that they signed to a massive contract. He's been in and out of reserve grade. He was back there this week. 11 runs, 112 metres, 41 post contact, and 23 tackles, no misses.
Yeah. I mean, I know the Storm fan. He's basically the Storm's version of Piakura.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so I know Storm fans want to see him get a shot, but I just don't know where it happens.
Bronson Garlick played a full 80 minutes and was not too shabby. Very good defensively, only missing one tackle. Young Tonema Payer was okay as well. Yeah, Chris Lewis also ran for just under 150 metres, which is good. He's been in and out of the system for a while now. For the Blackhawks, Riley Price only got through 50 minutes of play, only having the 3 runs as a front row, a bit concerning. Mitch Dunn played 23 minutes at lock, only ran the ball 6 times for 22 metres. Saniela Sadrugu continues to impress on the centres. Jake Burke was okay in hooker. Jaden Hodges is shining there as well. And Brendan Elliott had a decent-ish performance. Dolphins 38, Tigers 22. The Dolphins put in a good display. Max Plath made 36 tackles, did have a couple of misses, though. Jeremiah Simbikin continues to push for a selection. Jack Bostock was okay, as was Trey Fuller, the fullback. Mason Teague ran for over 100 metres and made all of his tackles, 34 of them, Reese.
Oh. Solid.
Wayne, bloody pick him. For the Brisbane Tigers, Jonah Pezet made a return from injury, a line break assist and a try assist. He might come in for Cam Munster next week. Jordan Grant was okay in the middle. George Jennings did score a try but was quiet. So some interesting ones there. And also Alec McDonald made a return from injury on the bench. 13 runs, 144 metres for the Brisbane Tigers, helping them to come back a little bit before the Dolphins ran away with it.
Great to see.
Winner Manly 62, Cutters 0. This does have an asterisk that the Winner Manly forward pack contained Keenan Palacia and Corey Jensen. Okay, I'll take you through their stats though. Jensen ran for over 200 metres. Palacia had 140.
Impressive.
Palacia did have...
Obviously Jensen being better as usual.
Yeah. Palacia had 1 miss, Jensen had 2 and an ineffective tackle.
Enough, but at the same time, is Palacio worth all the money the Titans are going to be paying him next season?
Yeah. Palacio did have two rack infringements, so make of that what you will. Dean Mariner had 221 meters running the ball, whilst Josh Rogers scored 22 of his side's 62 points. No one really to stand out for the Cutters as they're non-affiliated. Magpies 38, Jets 28. This was a bit of a surprise because of how close the score was. I was doing the stats for Ipswich yesterday. I got the short end of the straw, let me tell you. Tristan Saylor was okay in attack. I thought defensively a couple of times caught out of position. Jesse Arpers was solid, picking up two tries. Bayless Brow and Takura could have had a little bit more involvement for mine. Bayless Brow running the ball only 9 times. Takura only 6. Corey Pakes, definitely outpointed by Blake Moser.
As a Broncos fan, you love and you hate to see it.
For Ipswich, I'll just give a couple players a wrap here. Jerome Burns, the 5'8", was really solid, as well as the hooker Reece Jacks in defence, as well as also this back rower, Sachaeus Tshong-Ni. It's one of my favourite names in rugby league, but he played really well on the edge for Ipswich, and they nearly won that game too, which was a bit of a shock. Because it was first against last, Reece.
Yeah, but oh well.
Looking at the host plus cup. Looking at the ladder, South's Logan on top on by plus 4 for and against points from Burley. The Dolphins on 20, then it's the Brisbane Tigers on 19. The Seagulls and the Pride on 18. Capras on 17. Tweed Seagulls on 17. On 16, sorry. Falcons 15. Hunters 13. Blackhawks 12. Devils 10. Western Clydesdale 6. Whilst the Cutters are on 2 points along with Ipswich. Ipswich with a worser, with a 96 point worse off for and against. On to the New South Wales Cup. South Sydney 30, defeating the Dragons 22. Peter Mavazelis continues to impress. He'll probably get a crack at the 9 jumping, but if Damien Cook fails to back up, so that'll be one to watch. He made 47 tackles. Davi Mawali, really impressive in the middle of the park. Josiah Carapani, the center, was good. Ethan O'Neill on the edge, I thought, was another one to shine, as well as the bench forward, Jackson Rani. For the Dragons, the Couchman brothers impressed. Billy Burns picked up 2 tries playing across the back row and had a stint at 5'8". Young bench forward Viliami Fifita looked good in limited minutes, while the Couchman brothers, as I mentioned, played well. Warriors 34, Raiders 16. Viliami Vailea picked up a double. Freddie Lussick, the gatch ceiling try in the 76th minute. Players to shine, Vailea had 195 metres, so he's looking for a first-grade recall. But I will say I was very impressed with that debutant, that Lea Tauta, who we've talked about on the show a couple of times now.
Yeah, he was very strong. Didn't look out of place at all.
Yeah. Kalani going good as well, running the football defensively. Great as well, former Raiders junior. On to the Raiders now. The attacking stats for Chevy Stewart look good. 14 runs, 156 metres, 39 post contact. But I was showing you a bit of tape today on Chevy Stewart, and a couple of effort plays really stood out to me in a negative way. Like, there was a time that Raiders scored, and he just gave up and let the Warriors run around under the posts for a kick that was converted. So a little bit of learning for Chevy Stewart to do at the fullback position.
Yeah, those are the type of plays where you just need to be giving your effort. Even if they're going to score, just giving your effort, force the puck to kick. Yeah, I just do that.
Exactly. Like, I showed you that, and I had alarm bells ringing, let me tell you. Other players to shine, Atamari Otter and Peter Holler, looking for first-grade recalls. Utula Asamoah looks a good prospect on the wing. 185 metres, 72 post-contact metres, 7 tackle breaks, so good signs there for the young winger. 16-all draw between Blacktown and Western Suburbs. Blacktown led 16-0 at one stage before the Magpies ran them down. Young talented hooker Talon De Silva scoring the game tying try. He looked great at 9. Substituting for Dean Blore, played 40 minutes, looked good. Matamua and Sione Fainu impressed, along with Tuki Simpkins and Alex Safarth. Dane Laurie did leave the match early with a failed HIA. So with Luke Brooks' injury in play, just another clog to work out.
should be interesting for sure.
Excuse me. Yeah, the Vega Bus had a big game. Ray Tumialo Vaiga, 15 runs, 189 meters. KO Weeks was good, along with Jake Harper playing 68 minutes at halfback. Very impressive to see. Why did he get taken off? Hang on a moment. He was replaced by Gordon Cam Come Tom, so that makes a bit of sense.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So very interesting to see that display. Who else did I think ran good? Jacob Sykes ran good as a prop. He ran, just had under 130 meters. Austin Diaz as well. He made his debut last year with the Tigers. Newtown 36, Bears 20. Hat-tricks for Josh Mansour and William Fakatomapi. For North Sydney, Fletcher Baker did have a fouled HIA. Only played 25 minutes and had 5 runs. As a Roosters fan and a regular listener of the podcast, you know what I think. Terrell May ran for just under 150 metres. Zach Docker-Clay was good as well as Alfred Smalley and Tui Katoa. For the Jets, Savo Dan ran over everyone that played well. Connor Tracy, Josh Mansour, KL Ela, Braden Trindle, Jesse Colquhoun, Jaden Barrow. Anyone in a Jets jersey played better than anyone in the Sharks jersey. Now, for everyone's favorite time of the week, Roosters recap. They played the Panthers. They lost 24-22. And we've got a return of bit of nostalgia, Reese, because Dylan Napa got simmed in for a shoulder charge.
Oh, where have I heard that before?
The Roosters did battle hard. They lost both Tom Deacon and Hugo Savala to first half injuries. That's their starting halfback and hookup. So they did well to only keep within 2 points. And yes, I'm going to do it. Nafahu White ran for over 250 meters. Siwa Wong ran for over 200 for the first time this year, so good to see. In 80 minutes of game time, I'm really excited about both these prospects, should they stay at the club. And also, a name I want to keep an eye on, the bench hooker, Alan Holton. I thought he was great in his debut against the Bulldogs last week. He backed it up with a good game in this one, so another one to keep your eye on.
Also,
Jackson Parlow played fullback, so I don't know I don't know if that's a smokescreen for next week when we play Manu at centre and have Parlow at fullback, but Jesus. And then today's game, Bulldogs 64, Parramatta 12. Yes, Kyle Flanagan scored 4 tries, but as I told you, Reese, only one of them was really effort.
Yeah.
But trust me, anyone could have scored in this game today. Braden Birds picked up a hat-trick. Katoni Katoga picked up a double. Joseph O'Neill a try. Gerald Skelton a try. It was a training run in this game, let me tell you. But Kyle Flanagan scoring 32 of his side's 64 points. Reese?
Yeah, piece of piss for the Bulldogs, really.
But I will say, though, Franklin Pele did his chances of returning to first grade no harm. 14 runs, 159 metres.
Bloody hell.
It was good. Very good impact from Franklin off the bench, as well as from Jaden Tanner too. And also Blake Wilson, I thought, was good at fullback. And your mate Ethan Choir Ward was okay as well. For the Eels, Zach Sini, the only one to worth a mention, as well as Kai Rodwell. The rest was painful to sit through. Time for the ladder, Reese.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bulldogs on top on 22 points, and their forward against got a big boost today. Newtown on 21, Panthers and Bears on 20, Warriors 19, Blacktown Workers 16, South 16, West 15, Canberra 15, Parramatta 15, St. George Illawarra 13, Newcastle 10, and the Roosters are on the bottom of the ladder on 8 points. Not too disappointed there, because that's a development team for us. I'm not too concerned there at all.
I don't care. You'll obviously in the Roosters at the bottom of the table.
Next week, we play the Knights. That's a bottom of the table clash, and we should win with how our youngsters have been developing.
New South Wales Cup tagball. Let's get it.
Okay, it is time for this week's Long Cow of the Week. So, what are we thinking, Reese? You're going to go first this week.
You're really putting me on the spot. I'm used to you going first.
Do you want me to go first? I can.
No, I'll go first. I'm going to go with Romelu Lukaku of because Champions League final is supposed to be the biggest occasion of the footballing world. It's supposed to be the best of the best going against each other to decide who is effectively the best club team in the world. And here's this big Belgian man, Romelu Lukaku, who somehow, by the way, managed to pull Megan Thee Stallion. And he's missing absolute sinners. Like, good Lord. It's embarrassing. And, you know, it's, as a United fan, he did the same shit for us too.
Romelu Lukaku. Okay, my turn now. I'm going to give this LOLcow award to New South Wales media. Now, this is a bit hard, but at the same time, I understand the origin hysteria. You know how bad it's been the last few weeks, mate? With this team?
How bad?
Like, it's been so bad because you've seen all these whispers and everything, and it's just like, if you're not confident, don't fucking name it. Like, seriously, like, they just put it all out there, and it's shit. It's unpurified garbage in the media. And I've seen another article. I'm actually going to read this one out from the Sydney Morning Herald for the likely New South Wales team. You ready to hear this one?
Yeah.
Teddy, To'o, Trell, Turbo, Fox, Luai, Michimo. That's the back line. Parlo, Cookie, Haas, Martin, Frizzell, Yo. That's the forwards. A bench of Robson, Murray, Hudson Young, Utui Kamanu.
What the hell is that? Texas.
So even JSAF's missed it. Even DSAF's missed out now. Oh. What is going on?
Like, realistically, what was something with this one at 7 p.m. tonight?
I don't know. They just want this big announcement at 11 a.m. tomorrow. It's like it's fucking Gladys Berejiklian announcing the freaking COVID team.
Exactly. And then second of all...
Good morning, everybody.
Second of all, why is the media continuing to try and predict the team? Like, just let Fiddler announce it, and everyone's going to be much happier.
It is called... clickbait.
Anything to get a little bit of.
See, even us, like we chose to be respectful when we did our interviews and requests and inquiries. Follow the lead, my friend. Follow the lead. But you know what, my friend? That is going to wrap us up.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Yeah, it was an excellent.
And we'll see you.
Happy to be here.
We'll see you next week for our look at round 16 and a preview of Origin 2. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.